Going to the Jew First. This is the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. And today we'd like to have a special presentation to share with you with Dr. Reynolds Showers, who serves with Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. Dr. Showers recently spoke at IBJM's annual prophecy conference on the book of Daniel. Now, without further ado, here is Dr. Showers.
We're going to come now to Daniel chapter 8, and go and from here on, it's shifting from God's rule over the Gentiles, and it's going to shift over to God's rule over Israel, And Daniel, you know, he's been receiving all this information about these Gentile rule and everything going on throughout the course of history, is beginning to wonder, what about my people, Israel? What's going to happen to our people of Israel during this particular time? When we come to chapter 8, he's given another dream, another vision by God. And this one had, again, two animals in his dream. And one of them was a ram that had two horns on its head, one horn being higher than the other one. And in the interpretation, that represented the Medo-Persian kingdom. And interestingly, the Medo-Persian kings, when they led their armies into battle, normally had a hollowed-out ram's head on their head and everything. That was apparently the symbol that they developed and everything for their own Medo-Persian kingdom. And so this ram is there. It has two horns on its head. One higher than the other one represents the Medo-Persian, the Persians, as we indicated with the lopsided bear, after a while gained ascendancy over the other party, the Medes. But while Daniel was watching that dream, all of a sudden he sees a he-goat coming from the west, running so fast, it almost looks as if it's on air at everything. And that one had a huge horn right in the middle of its head between its eyes. And as Daniel was given the interpretation, the first animal with the two horns was Medo-Persia, but this goat coming from the west is representing Greece. And the main horn, the one horn on the head, was Alexander the Great, representing Alexander the Great. And he watched that goat slam into the ram, trample it to the ground, breaking its horns and everything else, which again was God's way of demonstrating to Daniel that Greece was going to conquer Medo-Persia and everything. But why is God doing this when Daniel is concerned, okay, so much for the Gentile kings, what about my people of Israel? What's going to happen to us? And what God was going to reveal then is now Greece is the dominant world power and Alexander the Great is its ruler. But again, that horn gets shattered. God's way of demonstrating Alexander the Great is going to die very shortly. Over in where Medo-Persia used to be, and over in Babylon, he became so enamored with the city of Babylon, he decided to continue there for the rest of his life, but he came down with an illness. And just in a few short days, he died at a very young age, in his early 30s. And then as Daniel is watching this goat, four horns come up and everything, again, indicating that his four leading generals are going to take charge of the Grecian kingdom after Alexander the Great dies. But again, only two of them become dominant. And so in the rest of this, he focuses on the dream and everything that Daniel has, focuses on two of those rulers. The one that's located south of Israel in the land of Egypt, and the other one north of Israel in the nation of Syria, And then it begins to talk about these two different areas of rule, Greek rule. And they begin to wage war against each other, interestingly, even though they're both from the same Grecian kingdom. And the ones in Egypt want to gain the ascendancy over those up in Syria. Those in Syria will counteract and try to gain control of Egypt. And so they're waging war back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth against each other. And of course, who's right in the middle between them? The nation of Israel. And so the people of Israel, because Daniel's wondering, what's going to happen to our nation with all these changes of Gentile rule? They're right in the middle of this warfare between these two Grecian rulers and several rulers in both of these divisions of Syria and Egypt. And so that as these armies are marching back and forth across the land of Israel, the people of Israel are suffering because of these groups going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. Well, finally, his dream ends up focusing on one of the major rulers from up in Syria, a man by the name of Antiochus IV. He was a Greek descendant of Alexander the Great's Grecian kingdom. He comes to the throne in the Syria division of the Grecian kingdom. And after a while, he became known as Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes. E-P-I-P-H-A-N-E-S. And this man got to the point where, in essence, he wanted the chief Greek god to be worshipped by all people, where he would rule. And he came to the point where he was going to go down and lead another war against Egypt and take control of that. But when he got down there, Rome was a rising power in the Mediterranean Sea. And Rome already had a legion of soldiers and a general over them there in the land of Egypt. So they're getting entrenched there in Egypt to take control of Egypt when this guy from up in Syria, Antiochus Epiphanes, comes down wanting to take control of Egypt. And so now there's going to be a clash between the Romans and Antiochus Epiphanes and his Greek-Syrian soldiers. And what happened was the Roman general confronted Antiochus Epiphanes, and he took a rod and he drew a circle right around Antiochus Epiphanes' feet. This is in the ancient records. And he says to Antiochus Epiphanes, you have to make a decision one way or the other before you step outside that circle. Either you're going to try to attack us and drive us out of Egypt, or you're not going to attack us, you're going to leave here and go back home to Syria. Well, when Antiochus looked at the Roman legions, he knew that his troops were no match for the Romans. So for his own good health, he made the decision, we're not going to attack the Romans. So he decided, we're going to go back home to our troops back up to Syria. But when they get up to the land of Israel, Antiochus takes complete control of the nation of Israel. And he's determined to force the Jews to reject the God of Israel and to worship exclusively the chief Greek god, Zeus. And he took control of their new temple. You know, when Medo-Persia conquered Babylon, King Cyrus, in 538, the year after they conquered Babylon, King Cyrus officially ended the Babylonian captivity of the Jews in 538 B.C. And he told the Jews, if you'd like to, return home to your homeland and rebuild. The Persians were very kind to the Jews back at that time. They even helped them get resources, materials, and everything else to rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple there as well. Anyhow, that ended the Babylonian captivity of the Jews. But now, after Medo-Persia was conquered by Greece, and the chief Greek ruler dies, and you've got now these rulers, Greek rulers in Syria and down below, the Jews, for years now, had the temple. They had their Old Testament priesthood revived. They were offering sacrifices there to God, as God had instructed them to do under the Mosaic Law. But when Antiochus Epiphanes comes up from Egypt towards Syria but gets to Israel, he's determined he's going to wipe out the worship of Jehovah by the people of Israel. And he outlaws their following the law of God with the Ten Commandments. He takes control of the temple, their new temple there, puts an end to the Israeli priesthood. He builds a pagan altar of sacrifice over top of God's altar of sacrifice, and he erects a huge image of their Greek god, there, and he commands the Jews, you reject the worship of your God Jehovah, and from now on you worship exclusively our God as the true and the living God. Now you know that under the Mosaic law, pigs were a defiling animal under the Mosaic law. So to show all the more what he's going to do to Israel, he brings his soldiers with pigs into God's temple and throw them up on top of the pagan altar of sacrifice and defile God's temple with pigs to offer sacrifices to their chief Greek god Zeus. Then he forbade the Jews following God's law to circumcise their boy babies. And he was going to enforce this upon them. And if they found boy babies who had been circumcised, they would send their soldiers in, they would kidnap that boy baby, and in that community where he was circumcised, they'd ram a sharp stake up through the body of that boy baby and put it down in the ground in the town square and let that baby dangle until it died. And he'd say to the Jew, this is what's going to happen to all of your children if you don't reject the worship of your God and worship exclusively our chief Greek god, Zeus. And so he defiled this. And he knew that the Jews would never fight on the Sabbath day, because that would be a breaking of the Sabbath. And so if there was one community of Jews who were rebelling against his policies, he waited till the Sabbath day and send his Greek Syrian soldiers in to massacre the Jews, because they knew the Jews wouldn't defend themselves. And so this is what was going on. And here's Satan trying through brute force of Gentile dominion to force the people of Israel away from the worship of the true and the living God. Well, by God's grace, and God was revealing all of this to Daniel through this dream ahead of time of what's going to happen in the future. So that begins with chapter 8. So now the focus is going to be on God's rule with regard to Israel, or what's going to happen to them. Well, all these Gentile kingdoms are still going to be going on into the future. There was a priestly group of men called the Maccabees there, and they began to revolt against this rule by Antiochus Epiphanes in the land of Israel. And they were able to gather a whole group of Jewish men around them and basically train them in what we would call guerrilla warfare. And they began fighting against Antiochus Epiphanes and the Greek Syrian soldiers there. And many of the Jewish men lost their lives in this, but by God's grace, they were enabled finally to defeat Antiochus Epiphanes, and he and what was left of his men had to leave and go back up to Syria. And it wasn't too long after that Antiochus died at everything. And so God now, beginning with chapter 8, is beginning to reveal to Daniel, here's what's going to happen to the people of Israel. By the way, the dates of this, Antiochus started this against Israel in 171 B.C., and he was finally driven out in 165 B.C. Now, God sent the angel Gabriel to Daniel to explain to him different aspects of this dream that he had. And the angel Gabriel told Daniel that his activity of Antiochus Epiphanes would be part of the latter portion of the indignation. This is a technical term there in Daniel chapter 8 that you ought to be aware of. The latter portion of the indignation. The latter portion of the indignation. And so Gabriel was saying to Daniel, this evil activity of Antiochus Epiphanes is part of, it's a latter portion of the indignation. Now, what did he mean by the indignation? The term indignation refers to the period of history when God is indignant or angry with Israel because of its rebellion against him. Again, that's what it's referring to in Daniel. It's a technical term for the period of time when God is indignant or angry with Israel because of its rebellion against him.
You've been listening to a special presentation of Dr. Reynolds Showers on the Book of Daniel here on the Everlasting Nation broadcast. We invite you to come tomorrow as we resume our study on the Book of Daniel with Dr. Showers. For more information, you can contact us here at IBJM at 423-876-8150, or you can go online to ibjm.org for more information. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.